to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, March 17th, 2019, by Eric Williams.
I was reflecting on today's scriptures, they all spoke to me of one common theme, which is an impossible dream. In our first lesson, Abram, who's called out of Ur in the Chaldees to follow God on a journey that he does not know the end of, with many twists and turns, is promised by God that he will become the ancestor, the father of a multitude, and yet years and decades go by with that promise unfulfilled. And Abram says to God, what about that promise, my dream that I will have an heir who will be my own son and will make of me a great nation as you promised? And he prays, and God, I have to say, it's a fascinating way to make a contract. I'm kind of glad, you know, we say today that we cut a deal. Well, Abram and God actually cut a deal. They cut a covenant by slicing animals in half and walking between them. I'm really glad that we can do it with pen or electronically now. It's a little... But Abram's dream was an impossible dream, because by the time God was talking to him, he was already past the time when he should have a child. Sarah was too old. She'd been through menopause. Abram was as good as dead before that promise was fulfilled. Or the psalmist, who is surrounded by enemies and warfare and crises and problems of every kind, his impossible dream is to dwell in God's house, to be under God's protection, to experience peace and security and comfort by being in the presence of God. That's his impossible dream, and he cannot see how that can be realized in the midst of so many problems. St. Paul faced enemies, opponents, everywhere he set up his churches in Asia Minor. Many, he says, are enemies of the cross of Christ. And he prays for the impossible dream that his humiliation, and think of his life, shipwrecked, imprisoned, beaten, driven out, excluded from synagogue. St. Paul's impossible dream was that his humiliation might be transformed into glory in the presence of the living Christ. These resonate with me. I don't know if they do with you, because I think we too have impossible dreams. We look at the world with all of its darkness and problems. And again this week, another horrible tragedy, this time in New Zealand. Violence and hatred in the ascendant. Innocent worshipers mowed down. It's just too much to bear. And we wonder about this impossible dream that we have, that we might actually live in peace and harmony, that the world might be a place that is safe for our children. I thought about another much more mundane scandal, which was all over the news this week, the college entrance cheating scandal. And I think I know why it got so much coverage. It's because we really like to see celebrities, famous people, and wealthy people getting in trouble. It produces a kind of a really sick pleasure to watch that. We kind of get our popcorn and watch as they fall, you know, from their positions of privilege. But you know, deep down, how different am I? I mean, I didn't bribe colleges, but I'm in this with my kids as well. One waiting to hear from colleges this spring, and you know, you think about all the pressure that are on kids and families to help their kids do well. And I have to say, I kind of have a little tiny empathy for these folks. Now, they did the wrong thing in a huge way, but I get the pressure that they felt they were under, the pressure to keep up, to have status and power, and to give their kids a nudge. I don't have $500 million or whatever it was to bribe people, but anyway. I think that dream can go sour in so many ways. And I think we too, I think all human beings share fundamental dreams for a world of peace and harmony, for a playing field that is fair and just, where people who work hard can succeed and those who do wrong get the consequences of their actions. I think we want that. We want security and safety. We want our children to have a world to flourish in. That's true no matter what continent, what religion, what race we are. We all deep down want those things, but they seem impossible sometimes. We ask ourselves a lot what our dreams are, but today the question that came to me was, what is God's dream? You know, we know what our dreams are, but what is God dreaming for us? And that's where our gospel reading comes in today, because we have this really poignant moment with Jesus. Jesus, who has been on the Mount of Transfiguration and has now come down into the valley and is setting his face to Jerusalem, he is aiming for what he knows is coming. He knows the story of the Old Testament, that prophets who enter Jerusalem do not fare very well. They are beaten, they are shamed, and ultimately many are killed. He knows what awaits him on Palm Sunday. He says, you're not going to see me again until you say, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. That's Palm Sunday. That's Holy Week. That's his arrest, betrayal, death, and ultimately his victory. But he knows he has to walk through that terrible road first. And so he looks at Jerusalem and he looks at the children of Jerusalem and he says, how I have longed to draw you together as a hen gathers her chicks. What a tender and poignant image. What a wonderful way of thinking about the human condition. We are chicks that God longs to draw into his loving embrace, and yet we wander off, and yet we choose other things. To me, this dream of God that Jesus is expressing so poignantly today is a very simple dream that is echoed throughout the entire scriptures. It is God's hope and dream for all humanity, and that is that we be reconciled to God and to one another. That we be in a loving relationship with God and one another. It's in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. It's in the Great Commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. It is the whole gospel, the whole message, the whole ball of wax wrapped up into one very simple concept. It is God's dream, purpose, mission for all of us that we be in relationship with God and one another, reconciled to God and one another. And yet, it is so hard to live in that mission because we're led in so many other ways, thrown back on ourselves, the desire for security. We want to manufacture lives that are better for ourselves, and we forget God's mission. We spend so much energy. I have to look at my own life. How much time and energy do I really spend living into God's mission of reconciliation with God and other people? And how much am I really spending my time and energy on other things? I want you to do a little thought experiment with me. Imagine that that mission statement, reconciliation with God and other people, became the mission statement for every organization that you could think of. Imagine that that was the mission of our government, to be reconciled with God and other people. What policies, laws, and so forth might change? Imagine that it was the mission statement for GM. We're making cars, but our mission is reconciliation with God and other people. How might that transform management and labor disputes? How might it shape the way we think about transportation in this country and this world? What if our educational system was about reconciliation with God and other people, forming people, young people, into those who are truly in right relationship with one another? What if it was the mission as it is and should be of our church. How might we organize our lives, our worship, our outreach, our education around that central task? And finally, what would it look like if that was my personal mission statement and your personal mission statement? What things might have to be reprioritized in our lives to really be about reconciliation with God and one another? What might we have to let go of? How might we measure success differently if we thought about it in those terms? Not the number on our 401k, but the amount of love that we have been able to receive and give, the forgiveness that we've been able somehow to extend and receive from those from whom we've been estranged. How might God's mission transform the body of our humiliation into glory, as Paul says? How might we return more fully to the loving embrace of the God who welcomes us as a mother hen with her chicks? I pray that we might experience that love of God this Lent. We might feel God's presence and know that mission and see it in the lives around us, in our congregation, in our family, even in our workplace, that we might take steps forward in truly being people who are dedicated to that mission, who experience the transforming love of God and are empowered to share it in ways little and big.